A good leader is not a leader because he's exceptional as a person. The proof of leadership is the ability to reproduce yourself as much as possible, and that there be continuity that does not necessarily depend on you. That's leadership. And so I thank God for these great people. I sincerely appreciate them. Tonight is one of those teachings that will leave you thinking about your destiny passionately. Tonight is one of those teachings that the Lord will breathe upon, that will give us a cause to think. There are not many teachings like this, but every once in a while, God brings truths that help our growth, that help us to relate with the times and give us wisdom. Hallelujah. It was a revelation that God gave me, and I looked forward to having the release. I didn't even know that this would be the first platform I'll be sharing it, and I'm very happy about it. And I know that the Lord is going to bless us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am a student of the school of the Spirit, and I'm a student of Scripture. And scattered across Scripture are mysteries and principles that not only help our revealing Jesus, but it also helps in the glorification of the saints. Jesus himself said, "Herein is my Father glorified." John 15 and verse 8. He says, "When ye bear much fruit." So the Father is glorified to the degree to which the saints excel. It's not enough that Jesus be glorified alone. He also wants the saints to excel. Are we together? So I want you to truly pay attention. I'm teaching tonight on a very deep mystery. This mystery will help you to remain relevant. It's a mystery in the spirit that helps people to remain relevant regardless seasons, regardless times. Are we together? Yes. There is no guarantee that because you started well, you will finish well. There is no guarantee that. That is why God calls himself Alpha and then Omega. He does not only start, he remains. And the Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Hallelujah. So I'm teaching tonight on times and seasons. It's a very deep revelation that will impart wisdom upon our lives. You may argue with opinions, but you cannot argue with results. Results are powerful. There are people today who do not believe in the Lordship of Jesus. Someday, the result that will stand before them, the reality of heaven and hell, will compel them. I'm convinced that everybody in hell today intends to believe. But the time allotted for them to believe and accept the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, they exhausted that time. And even though now they still have the faith to believe, the timing does not allow it again. Every time is not convenient for every result. Realities in this kingdom are time dependent, and they are also dependent on seasons. In agriculture, we learn that, at least for Nigeria, other parts of Africa and the West, they have at least four seasons, but it's not the case for us. We just have two seasons, the rainy season and the dry season. Are we together? You can plant every time, but there are seasons when even the environment supports you. For instance, if you plant during the dry season, you will have to take responsibility for providing water. You will have to outsource an intelligence and laboriously do what the rain would have done for you free of charge. Are we together? But when you sow during the rainy season, you have an advantage of the environmental conditioning favoring that agricultural pursuit. And so every time is not convenient for everything. And if we do not understand the mystery behind times and seasons, you will find out that at the end of your life, you did not do much, both for the kingdom, for yourself, for family, and so on and so forth. The School of Ministry has been running now for, I think, this should be the 8th session. And almost all the students unanimously agree that one of their best in terms of the courses that we teach is called personal transformation. And not because of all of it, but there are a few topics there that just challenge you to think about your life. And I believe that. Value every information that gives you a reason to understand life, not just God alone. There is Jesus, the way, the methodologies of the kingdom. You have to understand this. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 41 contains a very, very interesting story. And in that story is a mystery. The mystery holds the key to transgenerational relevance. Stories in scripture were not just written for nothing. It's a long reading, be patient. Stories in scripture were not just for the information. Regardless the actors, there was something that was hidden in those stories. And the assignment of the spirit of revelation is to open your eyes so that you will see beyond the stories, beyond the parables, you understand the mysteries. Are we together now? If you read a Bible story and you do not get the mystery behind it, you have not benefited from that story. If the only thing you know is there was a man called Abraham, for instance, a woman called Sarah, they were childless for a long time, then Isaac came, etc. That has not blessed you. That is just a historic information. But when the spirit of revelation comes, it takes you beyond history. It takes you beyond archaeology. It opens up to you something in that story that is consistent with the character of God. And it reveals, it hands over to you a key that helps your excelling in life. Until you find a kingdom key in a story, you have not benefited from it, as far as the study of scripture is concerned. So Genesis chapter 41, the Bible talks about, apologies for the way the projection is looking, but the Bible talks about a young man who, for various reasons, found himself in the prison, and then he was now about to be lifted. And then the Bible says in 41, please give it to us, a long reading. The Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. So it starts with a dream. The Pharaoh was the king. He was the supreme ruler over Egypt. Egypt was a very strange place. It was a place of abundance. It was a place of plenty. It was the then superpower of the whole world. Egyptians were vicious people. They were intelligent in terms of science and Scientology. They were agriculturists. They were warriors. You didn't stand close to an Egyptian those days. They had all kinds of mysteries. They had God who would reveal secrets to them. They were fierce people. Hallelujah. So the Bible says one night the king goes to bed and he had a dream. Please follow me carefully. And behold, in that dream, he stood by a river. Next verse. Verse 2 now. And behold, there came out of the river 7 well-favored. Can you give us any version just for explanation? These were cattle, calf. Any version at all that gives us a clearer explanation? And then the Bible says that, okay, I hope Amplified will not waste our time. Okay, well-favored cows, sleek and handsome. See what Amplified does? And fat. Just give us NIV or something. I mean, Amplified now is calling a cow handsome. All right, so when we're done, then we go back to KJV. And that it went out of the river 7 cows. Watch this now. The king is dreaming. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit is so intentional about the church understanding this? It goes into a king's dream to tell us what is happening. So the king is having a dream. Seven cows, sleek, fat. And the Bible says they grazed among the reeds, the grass now. After them, seven other cows, ugly and gaunt, came out of the Nile and stood beside those on the river bank. And then, this is the first mystery. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the seven sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. So that's dream number one. He goes to bed and is standing by the Nile. And he sees seven fat cows. Then after that, he sees seven lean cows. Are we together? And according to his dream, the seven lean cows ate the fat ones. And KJV tells you they didn't increase in size. They remained like that. Are we together? Verse 5. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. Seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. Verse 6. After them, seven other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. Then another mystery. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up and it had been a dream. Verse 8. Help us, please. Verse 8. The Bible says that Pharaoh was troubled when you read KJV. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no man could interpret them for him. You see, Pharaoh was a very intelligent man. He really deserved to be king. Other people will wake up and say, what a wonderful dream. Foolish cows. Thin ones are eating you and you are just keeping quiet instead of you to use the advantage of size and fight back. But Pharaoh said, no, kings don't dream for nothing. There is something in this dream. Even though I do not understand, it holds the key perhaps to the salvation of my kingdom. And he began to probe. He called the wise men, and then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. 10. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. The Bible says, now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. Be patient, please. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged. 14. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from his dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no man can interpret it. But I have heard it is said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Here goes the dream again, in case you didn't read the first one. In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. Went out of the river. There came up seven cows, fat and sleek, grazing in among the reeds. And after them, seven other lean cows, you know, they came. It says, I had never seen such ugly cows in the land of Egypt. Now, the dreamer is saying his own thing. The first one, it was the spirit of revelation speaking. Now, the dreamer is giving us the full weight of what he saw. That he did not see cows that lean, that ugly and vicious. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, look up, no one could tell that they had done so. That means we must examine those cows. A cow that does not eat just grass, eats another cow and does not increase in size. Is that an ordinary cow? Are we together? No one could tell they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. 22. In my dream, I also saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. the thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me. Wow. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, listen carefully now. The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. Pharaoh, you saw the same thing. The realm of the spirit was repeating a mystery for you to get. That it used different actors and scenarios, but the dream is the same. It says God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Next verse. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh. Okay, 26 now. Let's go to 26, please. The seven good cows have nothing to do with animals. They are talking of seasons. That's the first revelation. Don't let the cows confuse you, he said. It's not about animals. It's about seasons. Are we together? The seven good cows are 7 years. And the seven good heads of grain are also 7 years. So the spirit of revelation was coming to Pharaoh to teach him something about seasons. That this is not about animals. Immediately, some of you know that your interpretation of many dreams have been wrong. Just from this accurate revelation, you can see that this is a deliverance for you, because usually if you get up, your meaning will be around the objects of the dream. But sometimes the meaning has nothing to do with the objects of the dream. In this case, that both the cows and the grain are the same thing, time. It is once, please go back to verse 26. It says, it is one and the same dream. 27. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are seven seasons. So are the worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 29. 7 years of great abundance, take note, are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided. It's an ordinance, and God will do it soon. Keep that scripture there. Look up, please. This is a king who goes to bed and comes up with a dream. Then a young Hebrew boy is invited to his palace, and he says, "Oh king, this dream has nothing to do with cows. Nothing to do with plans. This is a mystery in the kingdom that it talks about years. That the way the earth works, please look up. The way God designed this system to work is that there will always, always be night after day. Then there will be day after night. Then there will be night again after day." Are we together? As far as we know, in the last 6,000 years plus, no activity on earth has sustained the power to break that law indefinitely. A few times it was manipulated, but that law was still in place. And it says, "Oh king, even though you are a king of a great country, understand this mystery so that your relevance will remain. If you do not understand it, a day will come, nobody will remember that there was once Pharaoh seated on the throne." Look up, please. I want to share with you a very deep mystery. If you do not understand this, no matter what your achievements are today, no matter what height you rise to in life, if you cannot decipher the dream of Pharaoh, you will not last in this kingdom. The Bible tells us that the memory of the just is blessed. It's not just the mind, the thinking, the memory, that there is something about the just and God's ability to preserve his good hand and his workings upon their lives. Our life and history is full of people who did not pay attention to this dream. And whether or not you understand the dream, it does not stop what will happen from happening. Listen to me. There will always be 7 years of plenty. And that after 7 years of plenty, what followed was 7 years of famine. And that the years of famine does not leave the years of plenty alone. That something in your future can pursue something in your yesterday and eat it up. Goodness. Why will my future not face its front and turn to the past and want to eat up your achievements? Want to eat up the mighty things that you have done? Businessmen have broken this law. And so after building empires for years, they do not know how to last. And at the end of their life, you see them victims of the 7 years of famine. It swallows up everything. Some of them are our parents. You open their CVs and you are surprised. You once went abroad? Yes, sir. You once shook hands with the then military head of state? Yes, sir. You once studied in Harvard? Yes. Where are those achievements? The 7 years of famine. Please hear what I teach you tonight. Let me give you the wisdom that will cause you to last. There are sportsmen in this country who are still alive. There was a time their name was synonymous to honor and breakthrough. But they did not discern the mystery in Pharaoh's dream. And it is painful in your lifetime to watch the years of famine come and eat up the years of your abundance. The Bible says Pharaoh said, no, I won't keep quiet. There is something about this dream that if I don't pay attention to understand, the end of my life may become a memorial that will not be desired. Notice what the Bible says, that the 7 years of famine are so vicious. No matter the size of the cow, they can eat it up. My God. So when I look at your life, all I see is 7 lean cows left. Where are the fat ones? Where are the achievements? Where are the mighty things you did in ministry? Where are the exploits in business? What suddenly happened? Africa did not know this. So when we were celebrating gold and jewelries and running around, we did not know the dream of Pharaoh was knocking. That if you do not know this today, you look at Africa and you will almost not remember that gold was taken out of here. That all kinds of things were taken out of here. There are musicians that did not know what to do with their 7 years of plenty. If you mention that name, there were names in ministry, in music, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. If you mention them, they were synonymous to honor. But they did not know what to do with 7 years of plenty. And right now, those vicious cows, he said, Pharaoh, what you have seen will surely happen. This is why God showed you. Are we together? Historically in this nation, growing up, we were told that there were several platforms and denominations that did great things for God. Sometimes before we were born and maybe at infancy, but the same dream came. Listen, this dream will look for every church. This dream will look for every celebrity. This dream will look for every human being. You don't have to pray. You don't have to be righteous. You don't have to be a sinner. You just have to be on earth. Once you are on earth, I guarantee you, the dream of Pharaoh is coming. What is it about a dream that God will have to repeat it twice? Pharaoh wake up. He goes back to bed. He has the same dream again. Joseph said, what you have seen will surely come to pass. That the cows talk of times and seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your spirit till your work on earth is done. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your spirit till your work on earth is done. To everything. Is that in your Bible? To how many things? To everything. To your desire. To your relevance. To your name. To your impact. To everything. There is a season. Now, when you read the Bible, don't read just to look for a message to preach. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Above heaven, we don't know what happens there, but under heaven, to everything. That means if you do not understand times and seasons, look up, please, ladies and gentlemen, you may be well meaning. You may be well-intentioned, but you will live the rest of your life in pain and regret. There are so many people moving around life and saying, life is not fair. This is not fair. I used to be a sincere man of God. I served God with all my life. Now look at, is this the lot of a Christian, they say. There are many people who say, I did everything I knew. Why should life treat me this way? My brother, my sister, it is not unique to you. It is a mystery that you have not been taught. And tonight God is opening you that it is not something unique that just looks for you. It's looking for every man. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son. Leaving your spirit till your work. So 7 years. Seven does not always mean seven. Seven is just a prophetic representation. The lesson is that there is a law that walks upon this earth. That there will always be an interplay in every man's life of 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. In ministry, it will happen. In business, it will happen. In marriage, in your family, it will happen. No matter how godly or how ungodly you are, there is no amount of prayer and fasting that will stop these seasons from happening. These are laws. Right now, it's dark. It's a stupid thing to stand and be praying against darkness for no cause. Rather, you look for torchlight. And you don't buy that torchlight necessarily in the night. You buy it during the day. It was the mistake of the five virgins. They were all virgins, but the foolishness or wisdom was the issue. And the Bible says some carried extra oil. Why extra? Because they knew that there's something about seasons. And the Bible says when the bridegroom delayed, those who were innocent, all of them started sincerely. It was time that revealed who was wise. Time is a revealer. It may not create changes, but time reveals. Time reveals wisdom, and time reveals foolishness. Are we blessed? In the parable of the virgins, it was never lack of money. Because the foolish ones still had money to buy more. It was pure carelessness. They didn't think the bridegroom would delay that long. Because they said, go to them that sell. And the Bible says they went and they bought. When they returned, the door was closed. When you read about Noah, there was a time Noah said, rain is coming. Is it in your Bible? I'm showing you these laws working. Noah, for 120 years... he kept shouting with his wife, his sons, and their wives, yes, rain is coming. I have built an ark that is big enough, made of gopher wood, three stories. Come, rain will come. When that rain come, it will not look like there was anything on earth. It will not look like any plant, any shrub was ever planted on earth. And yet the people said, don't worry, Noah, you are a noisemaker. You are a stupid noisemaker. When the time came and seasons were about to change, who closed the door? Read your Bible. It was not a demon. God himself closed the door. And when the rain started, the Bible says, the heavens gave its own rain and the earth gave its own rain. If you were in the middle of two of them, you would be in trouble. And it crushed those people. The whole earth was swept in rain. There was no single green leaf that survived. It took a dove to keep checking whether there was a place of refuge. It kept returning until finally it found a place of refuge. Noah was warning and saying, it will not always be like this. Dear people on earth, now you have the chance. The sun is still shining. No matter how slow you are, isn't it amazing that provided the animals were moving, God was patient. The snail would not run as fast as the cheetah, but at least they were moving. And God respected their honor to those seasons and waited till they entered the ark. Are we together? When that door closed, it closed sincerely. Once upon a time, Lazarus and the rich man had an opportunity to do certain things. He misused his opportunity. And he found himself in a place where he said, please, Lazarus, can you dip from Father Abraham's bosom a dip of water and let me quench my thirst? And he said, no. Seasons. Listen to what I'm telling you. Every time is not convenient for everything. If you do not discern seasons, there are times you will have every opportunity, but that door may never be there again. Now listen carefully. In every man's life, these two seasons will continue to alternate themselves for as long as you live on earth. You may not be able to stop the seasons, but we'll be going there shortly. The mystery to handle those seasons and reign through them was the interpretation of Joseph's dream. Joseph's dream was not a solution to Pharaoh alone. Joseph's dream was the spirit of revelation speaking through a young Hebrew boy to the inhabitants of the earth that regardless seasons, you are going to be able to stand. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you. I wish you can sing for me. When the oceans roar,
when the oceans rise
and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the stars. Father, you are King over the storms. So I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you. Many couples do not know that these seasons come in marriage too. And so they are happy, enjoying themselves. Husband is happy with wife. This gentleman, this my dear people who came and testified, you saw how he didn't want his wife to fall down. Passion. Except, and this is not bad news, don't be scared, ladies and gentlemen. But that there are seasons. Every time you see a fat cow, let it remind you that there is a lean one also. The gentleman said he got an alert. That's a fat cow. The footballer was signed to a club side that was paying him millions. He forgot his age was growing. Growing into the season of lean cows. He forgot. Oh, Esther, do not forget that Vashti gave way for you to be there. If you do what Vashti did, you will shift too. But if you do what Esther did, you will still remain. I am amazed at people's lack of discernment during the first part of Pharaoh's dream. Let me tell you, the season of abundance, write this down. The 7 years of plenty, write it please. The 7 years of plenty represents seasons of ease, seasons of opportunity. Seasons of access, opportunity. The key word is opportunity. 7 years of abundance represent seasons of opportunity that, according to the law of time and chance, everybody on the face of the earth, according to the goodness of God, must encounter seasons in your life where things will work well. Listen to me carefully. It is more than praying for things to work well. The character of God necessitates that sometime in your life, there will be a manifestation of his benevolence, his good hand. 7 years of plenty represent seasons and moments of ease. Represent moments of opportunity. What opportunity? An opportunity to know God. An opportunity to build relationships. An opportunity to understand your assignment. An opportunity to be helped. Those are seasons of plenty. Some of you, God saved at a platter of gold. Someone went out of the way, paid your transport fare, dragged you to church, ensured that you had the message, followed up on you. Those are seasons of plenty. I assure you, it will not always be like that. There are some of you, whether you give or not, there is a harvest coming from the sacrifice of your parents. Yes, listen to me. The deception of many young people. So when we are teaching on the principles that bring these things, you say, nonsense. I just got an alert before service. 100,000 as a student. What is this guy talking about? You've forgotten that for every fat cow, there is a lean one coming. All of a sudden at 26 years, you got a job with CBN. You got a job as a diplomatic person receiving 300,000. Let me tell you this. The seasons of abundance have a side effect. They can give you a short-term memory. It erodes your ability to think far. You see, when you are in the season of plenty, you can never imagine scarcity. I'm not talking of finances. Who would have imagined that a day will come where the gathering of the saints will have to be suspended for a while? You could drop on a bike and say, I thought they'll pray for the sick. Bros, see you later. And the Spirit of God is saying, use this time now. Now that you have brethren to pray with you. If you pray and you are lazy, you see someone's zeal, that zeal will cast out that spirit of laziness. You get back to prayer. While God was saying, pray that prayer. Now, please don't feel bad. You didn't know that your father was on his way transiting. The breadwinner of your family, when the Holy Ghost was telling you, now that you have the opportunity, there is a prayer department, there is koinonia, build capacity. You didn't know that you were just 2 years left to be the breadwinner of your family, whether prematurely. Others will be sleeping and the Holy Ghost will say, wake up. It will not always be like this. The seasons of opportunity. Everybody is inviting you, placing a demand on your grace. You're a music artist. There are all kinds of invitations. You are a man of God, Apostle Joshua Selman. There are all kinds of invitations. And you are carried away by the deception and the fame that it will always be like that. Remember Pharaoh's dream. Business is happening. Everyone, who would have known that one day Bill Gates will no longer be the wealthiest person? Did you know how much he was worth that time? Did you know how much Jeff Bezos was worth that time? Whenever you see the cows, I assure you, who would have known that one day the name Archbishop Benson Idahosa would be of blessed memory? If you were alive during his time and saw a man who went round the earth 53 times, a man who would keep governments down, would you ever imagine that one day somebody would stand up to threaten the gospel? So when that opportunity was happening, the church would have established themselves. Many of our parents, there were times where land was 500 naira. Is that true? They would even allow you to start building. I say, no, the earth. There's a scholarship that used to come. And the dream of Joseph kept coming and said, be careful. A time will come, this 500 naira land will be 50 million. And many made that mistake. There are denominations that made that mistake. There are families that made that mistake. There were times when the missionaries were allowing people to go to school free. They came to some of our loved ones and said, even if you don't go, send some of your children. Say, no, don't worry. I'm not sure school will be so expensive like this. Times and seasons. Can I tell you this? The pain of many people at the latter point in their life is because they are met with a vicious circle of change in their lives. They don't know what to do with. Some say it's an attack. Some say this is unfair, but it is the reality of the dream of Joseph. So God is telling you, my dear, build capacity in prayer right now. Oh God, just send the man first. And God said, forget about the man, pray. I'm not a prophet of doom, but you didn't know it would take you 5 years before your first child will come. And after year one, year two, said, Lord, where are you? And he says, you just pray. And you found out that your prayer bank was empty because you replaced prayer with cosmetics. Now, don't feel bad. Use your cosmetic, provided it doesn't interrupt your prayer life. You are not building capacity. You are praying and fasting into realms of the anointing. And God is saying, understand warfare. He said, no. What I need is just grace. I know that with power will come wealth. He said, be careful. Demons are real. They are not looking for everybody. Build capacity. God may recommend the message of a man of all these things. I'm not interested. Suddenly you step into an anointing that you will not last 90 days. You get that anointing, you wake up with vicious marks on your body for starters. You preach in a program, you are happy delivering everybody, and then your bike doesn't take you home, and then things start happening in your life and say, Lord, am I not serving you? Listen to me. It will not equally be easy all the time. The deception that comes with the years of plenty is complacency. The deception that comes with seasons of plenty is complacency. Living for the now. Living for the now. There are many people who never believed. They knew they would retire, but they just felt one day. And before you know it, retirement came. No house, no savings, no nothing. Some of you now remember when you were in secondary school. This is you today looking for a job. When you saw those many years ago, 10 years, 5 years, you were just saying, no, I'm just in demonstration. I'm just in a model learning or one of these schools. Pray there you say, now I'm still a child, my uncle is praying. And the Holy Ghost is saying, build capacity. And now you are in a position where you will have to trust God. 7 years of plenty will always be followed by 7 years of scarcity. It is a law. It has nothing to do with being good or bad. Complacency is the mistake that people make during 7 years of plenty. Some of you had people in your life years ago, there was no request that you would open your mouth and say, and they will not grant. Is that true? Some were uncles, some were people who just loved you, like the gentleman, or was it the lady who was sharing here? Anything he says, someone just sent him an alert. And most people do not know what to do with those seasons. You had an uncle who was working, say for instance, in NMPC, and God made that man to love you. What do I do for you? And say, uncle, honestly, there's one style now that is in town. I don't know if you can just give me, and he grants it to you. Say, what else do I do for you? And the Holy Spirit is saying, look, don't keep quiet. Your family does not have a land. They can drive them out of the house. Why don't you tell him and say, uncle, I don't want clothes. I can even work for you. I don't want my father to be old without a land. And the Holy Ghost shows you in a dream. You stand up and cast it away. 7 years of plenty. Then all of a sudden you will find out, God forbid, but tragedy strikes and everybody who is a support system for you is gone. And then you begin to complain and say, God, it's not fair. Remember Pharaoh's dream. There are men and women of God all around the world today. Once upon a time, their names were household names. You couldn't have a convention without those people. That convention is not there. But today, you barely can even know they were alive. I went to preach somewhere, and I saw someone. I used to know that person or know about that person, and I was shocked and surprised when I saw that person in the congregation. It made me to think about my own life. It was a shadow. I've had the privilege to travel and to meet a few people who were household names in different areas. And sometimes you look at them and you cannot imagine. Have you seen politicians like that? When they won election, they didn't know what to do with the 7 years of plenty. They were just sitting and elder statesmen said, we want you to become counselor. We want you to be, they don't even know how much the form costs. They just said, feel it. They became counselors and they enjoyed themselves until they lost the next election and they reduced back to nothing. My brothers and my sisters, lay hands on your head in 1 minute and I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, open my eyes for the sake of my children, for the sake of my family. Don't let the devil lie to you that this message is not for you. I assure you, for as long as you are alive on this earth, one day you will need this message. Please pray. Those following online, I'd like you to pray. Lord, give me wisdom. Shelabakato brandegedas. Emprotasila hashkala brandega baruisia. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Write this down. 7 years of famine represent seasons of constraint, seasons of inconvenience, seasons of scarcity. 7 years of famine represent seasons or moments of constraint, moments of inconvenience, moments of scarcity, for various reasons. It can be because of age. No matter how anointed you are, no matter what revelation you catch about long life, the reality is, for as long as you are carrying this mortal body, until immortality swallows up this mortality, you will not always have that energy. No! You can reduce your age, reduce it times, keep slashing it into two. For as long as you are on earth, a day will come. You will come to that reality. You want to jump the stairs like before with energy and find out that, wow, what is this strange breath that I'm taking? I used to run marathon. When? So people like Pele and people like all these athletes will sit in the stadium and watch their former self and remember that free kick and remember what they did. Unfortunately, seasons are gone. Sports stars would be invited with prestige to the same stadium that they once went with honor, and now they would sit down. What of former presidents? Once upon a time, they were the voice of their territories. Everything they said became law. And now you see them moving. Some sick, some not totally whole. And they sit down and watch. Oh, there is a lesson for us to learn today. Young, beautiful lady. Look at the person who gave birth to you and learned wisdom. Once upon a time, mama was fine like you too. Are we together? Now listen carefully. Young men that jump around and will not sit down in one place and deal with their destiny. Look at the man that gave birth to you. He was more agile than you. He became serious at age 20, yet he's still trying to catch up till today. And you got born again at age 30. That means you need grace, mercy, speed, restoration, all these forces of the spirit to back you up. Once upon a time, our parents used to tell us that you could go to buy something outside. If the owner were not there, you can pick the thing and drop the money there, and they'll come and find it there. It was Bishop Fred Addo that sang a song. He said, things are not the way they used to be. The reality of time. Now you leave your car key outside and go to ease yourself quickly and come out. Years ago, one time, I think they parked my car somewhere. It was called Panteca in Kaduna. Do you know that place? I was shocked that we came out and this thing you used to tie, you know, the tire. I was in that car. How? They removed them. This is the world we live in now. Someone can say, God bless you, and your wallet is missing, your money is missing, your ATM is missing. You had a chance where everybody around your life then was a trusted person. You didn't utilize that time. Everybody who was your roommate was a prayer warrior. You didn't utilize that chance. Now, everybody in your office hates you, and you have to live there for a very long time. 7 years of plenty will always follow 7 years of famine. Due to age, due to increased responsibilities. Look up, please. There are times that God will tell you as a man, build capacity and pray. How many children do you want to have? 5 children. God says, I know what 5 children look like. I'm the creator of the ends of the earth. Dig deep now. You refuse. And right now, you just want to pray and say, in Jesus' name, here comes your child. It's like a dream. You almost want to deny the child. And yet, he looks like you. The child wants to play with his father. But you want to play with your maker. And God will say, it's not an excuse. Face that child. You had a time when there was no child to distract you. You could pray for 8 hours. You had no job. You had no house. You had no reputation. You could go and buy corn. Nobody would know. But now that you have become a big man, whatever you couldn't do yesterday will not be easy now again. Our society is full of regrets of all kinds. Many elderly people go to their graves in pain. There are many books written as a warning to generations coming to say, don't make the mistake I made. I had opportunities. Some of our loved ones were raised by missionaries. They were the only ones who were born again at their time. And yet they still failed. How many people traveled abroad? When Nigeria passport was really something to talk about. They went abroad and returned like criminals after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. You still see some of them in the village and they will show you pictures. And you are like, what happened? You shook hands with this person. Is that not Dangote? Say yes now. Then it was nothing. Where were you? What happened? How many people are angry today watching people on TV? I used to know him. We were classmates. Huh? We wrote, what they call it now, jam together. We wrote this. And they ask questions they cannot answer because seasons came and they didn't know what to do with seasons. We're establishing Pharaoh's dream. Now, the key to sustained impact and relevance, write it down. The key to sustained impact and relevance. Since it is true that seasons change and that things by themselves will never be the way they always are, we must know what to do. There is a key, and that key is in the advice of Joseph. Let's continue from where we left off, Genesis 41. Please hurry up, we still have a lot to do.
Show us the ancient paths. Will you lead us along eternal highway?